Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Yesterday, the first woman, first black person, and first American of South Asian descent was sworn in as vice president on the Bible of the first black Supreme Court justice, Thurgood Marshall. It was a day of symbolism, of appeals to unity, and of calls to address our nation's history of racism and white supremacy, a history not far from anyone's mind as ceremonies took place on the very same steps that pro-Trump insurrectionists, some with Confederate flags and wearing racist sweatshirts, mounted just 2 weeks earlier. Last night, we heard from our new vice president directly for the first time at the Celebrating America concert special. She spoke of American ambition and hope.
In many ways, this moment embodies our character as a nation. It demonstrates who we are. Even in dark times, we not only dream, we do. We not only see what has been, we see what can be. We shoot for the moon, and then we plant our flag on it. We are bold, fearless, and ambitious. We are undaunted in our belief that we shall overcome, that we will rise up. This is American aspiration.
Joining us now for historical perspective and hopes for the future is University of Connecticut history professor Manisha Sinha. You may have caught her op-ed in the New York Times titled Why Kamala Harris Matters to Me, or maybe you know her from her book, The Slave's Cause, A History of Abolition, which was longlisted for the National Book Award for Nonfiction. Manisha, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. What did it mean for you to see Kamala Harris sworn in as vice president yesterday? What were you feeling as you watched? Maybe you're a member of the AKA sorority and you were excited to see a dear soror up there, or a graduate of her alma mater, Howard. Maybe you're a girl dad and you have feelings about what this means for your possible VP candidate. Or maybe you're the children of immigrants. Give us a call. 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. And also you can tweet to us at All of It WNYC. You wrote in your piece, Manisha, for the Times, as an Indian American professor of African American history, I am experiencing Biden's vice presidential pick as a personal gift. What's the gift?
Yes, so I was rather surprised at my reaction to Biden's pick of Kamala Harris as his vice president. As an Indian American, and you know, she's partly Indian American, and somebody who studies the history of slavery abolition and the long afterlives of slavery, the Civil War and Reconstruction, I just felt that her identity as a black woman and as such a trailblazer, both as a district attorney and as attorney general in California, and then as just the second black woman senator, it really spoke to me, both at a personal and a professional level. And I was caught a little off guard by my reaction. And I penned that editorial, sent it off to the New York Times, not knowing whether they would publish it. But I guess it seemed to have struck a chord with a lot of people.
Well, let's talk to you as a professional, as a professor of African-American history. How does this moment fit into history?
Well, you know, if you study American history, you realize how contested the American Democratic Project has been. Mm-hmm. And as a Civil War historian, we can see the attempt to transform the slaveholding republic into an interracial democracy immediately after the war, during Reconstruction, the establishment of black citizenship, and the virulent reaction that that provoked amongst racist and white terror groups like the Ku Klux Klan, which was founded in 1866. And it is really through a program of violent terror that the KKK and other assorted white supremacist groups overthrew the interracial state governments that had been established. And you get that long nightmare of Jim Crow and lynching and debt peonage and convict lease labor system, economic servitude for African Americans. So when I saw that mob attack Congress and assault the Capitol, it really conjured up for me those mobs that did that during Reconstruction and even before the Civil War, when pro-slavery border ruffians would invade Kansas Territory in order to steal elections. So this notion that we have that American democracy has, you know, progressed in this linear way without much contestation is somewhat ahistorical. It's always been contested. Slaveholders and later on white supremacists felt that things were not going their way, they did indeed interfere in democratic processes through violent mob action. And I just think we don't want to go back there. We want to, in the post-civil rights era, think about going forward rather than backward.
Let's go to Adam on line one, calling in from the Upper West Side. Adam, you're on All of It. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. First, thanks for playing the Dave Grohl bit. That was beautiful and kind of speaks to the beauty of this moment. I was just so moved yesterday when it didn't seem real to me until I saw Kamala Harris put her hand on the Bible, and then seeing her taking that oath, it just made this moment where this country had such ugliness and such terribleness rear its head on January 6th, and it shows this power to renew itself that is so strange and so remarkable, to send this woman who is Black, who is South Asian, who is breaking all of these historical boundaries, all the way to the White House. And it makes me marvel, and it fills me with joy and with gratitude to see that this is something our country can do. It makes me feel like we really have turned a page, and I send her my blessings and Godspeed.
Adam, thank you so much. Let's go to Tarini on Long Island on line two. Hi, Tarini. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that, building off what the last caller said, it was an intense, groundbreaking moment to see Kamala Harris take that oath. I'm Indian, my husband's Jamaican, and my two daughters are exactly her mix. And, I watched it with my two-year-old and my five-year-old, and the two-year-old just clapped. The five-year-old was so excited. She kept saying, Mommy, she looks like me. And I said, yes. And there's now a lady who has become vice president of America. And it brought me such deep joy after the last 4 years of terror to see that America and Americans, they overcame evil with good. And I think that, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, that's what they stand for to me. And little girls everywhere who are brown and have been told they can't do this or they can't do that, now know that they can.
You have to, if you have two nickels to rub together, Tarini, you have to get one of those sweatshirts that says, My VP looks like me, for your kids. They're so cute. You can find them online. Dave is calling in on line three from Long Island. Dave, you're a girl dad.
Oh, yes, I am. My wife and I always try to kind of tell her that she can do anything she wants. My little boy, too, we tell the same thing. Girls can do anything they want. And it was really special to see them both watch and kind of finally see that that's true. It was really nice moments.
Dave, thanks for calling in. My guest is Dr. Manisha Sinha. We're talking about the swearing in of Kamala Harris and what that meant to people. It's interesting that Dave called in because, Manisha, I was on a plane. This was 2 years ago, and it was a commuter plane, and I was sitting behind Kamala Harris. And she was on her way to vacation. She had, like, linen pants on, a white shirt. And she was with friends, but also some of her people. And I cannot tell you how many men who had daughters came up to her. And she was incredibly gracious about it. But so many of them, I mean, at least four on this flight, came up to talk to her about what she meant for their daughters, which I find interesting because I was reading, as I was reading on all of this, I did find one professor from WashU who was less excited about this prospect of change when in terms of having people who are symbolic. And well, she's not symbolic. She's actually vice president of Kamala Harris. But he told NBC News, there's no reason to believe that her singular accomplishment is going to mean a wholesale shift in corporate policy, culture, or norms. And that's what it would take to see a sea change for Black and brown women in those settings. What are your thoughts about practical change after all of our warm, good feelings go away?
Yes, I think, you know, the symbolism of a woman vice president is really important to everyone. And I think your callers made that quite clear. But it is also correct that we need to go beyond symbolism. And it seems to me, just given Kamala Harris's track record and the way that Joe Biden is visualizing a role for her in his administration you know, playing an important role in policy formation, especially in addressing the issues of police brutality and racism within the law enforcement, I think she will play a larger role there. I don't think that it is quite wise to give up on that. Just the flurry of executive orders and the start of the Biden-Harris administration in tapping local civil rights and labor activists has given me, who, you know, identifies herself as someone on the left wing of the Democratic Party, some hope. I do think that if the Biden-Harris administration take this opportunity where they do have a slight majority in Congress, they could get some serious policy changes enacted. And indeed, moments of crisis require us to be bold, both in policy and imagination, as the history of the New Deal or the history of Reconstruction amply proves. So I think she will be part of that. She is, we know, an ambitious woman, somebody who ran for the presidency, let's not forget. She is not going to be just window dressing in the Biden-Harris administration.
You know, we heard a lot about her selection as vice president, exciting and energizing Black voters, but it turned off some Black voters because of her work as a San Francisco DA and some of the cases she prosecuted. When you think about what people in the Indian American communities were excited about, was there a sore point at all?
Well, I think a lot of the Indian American community tends to be somewhat conservative, and her background, her mother's background, you know, for, at that time, for an Indian woman to journey alone to the United States, marry a person of her own choice, and have a successful career and be a single mother is not exactly what most conservative and traditional, what are known in the Indian American community as uncles and aunties, would strive for their kids. But I was amazed because I was so involved in voter turnout efforts, how excited even they were at seeing Kamala Harris. So despite misgivings, maybe conservative misgivings, which they may or may not have articulated, they were pretty riled up by her nomination. I should also point out that Kamala Harris's record in California, you know, was on the whole on the side of reform of law enforcement. The few things that she is criticized for heavily in terms of school truancy and some other policies, she sort of has backtracked from that a little bit. And I tend to read, you know, what some activists in California have said about this, rather than, you know, a law school professor who wrote kind of a hit job on Kamala Harris, I thought, when she was running for the presidency. So I think her record there is actually far more complex than has been portrayed by some people who have criticized her. I think we will find her on the right side of this question as vice president. And I think the Biden-Harris administration as a whole will work quickly to reverse Trump's attempt to get rid of all the reforms that were put into place first by President Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder, but to also go much beyond that, given what we have witnessed last year and given the superb, the rise of the movement for Black Lives as a broad interracial movement in this country.
Let's get to one more call if we can. Rose is calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina, actually. Hi, Rose. Thanks for calling All of It.
Thanks for having me.
What are your thoughts
today?
So
my thoughts on Kamala's speech is I was, you know, very intrigued when I first saw her during the primaries, because I'm an immigrant. I'm a professional woman who can relate to some of the struggles that a person in the public sphere like her would encounter. And I was very impressed with her demeanor, her intelligence, and her accomplishments that spoke for herself. So what I want to see going forward is just that young professional women, I mean, professional women of all colors and all races and backgrounds, learning from how she handles herself in this public sphere, understanding the barriers and the critiques and mm-hmm. all those things that will be hurled at her. And I am confident that there's going to be a lot of learning for us, for young girls, women of color who do face those same struggles on a daily basis. And many times they choose to fall out of, you know, roles that they are more than qualified for because it's hard.
It
so
is hard.
Just
yeah.
seeing her straddle her roles and how fearless she is, and I'm sure she'll be pretty effective and a good team player. Those are the things I'm looking forward to. And as I heard her speech last night, I felt like, yes, this is what we really need.
Rose, thank you so much. My guest this hour has been Dr. Manisha Sinha. She is a professor of American history at University of Connecticut. You might want to read her piece from The Times, Why Kamala Harris Matters to Me. Dr. Sinha, thank you so much for being with us and taking calls with us on All of It.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.